So we're going to start from the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. So the Mishnah tells us, Ma'arvin b'demai uv'maiser rishon shenitla trumaso, uv'maiser sheni v'hekde sheniftu v'hakohanim b'chala, avalo b'tevel v'lo b'maiser rishon shelo nitla trumaso, v'lo b'maiser sheni v'hekde shelo niftu. The Mishnah, you know, in continuing the theme of this perek about, you know, what types of things can and cannot be used for an Erev Tchumen, the Mishnah starts to delineate certain items that we're familiar with from other areas of Halacha that either are or are not acceptable for an Erev Tchumen. So for example, you can make an Erev of Tchumen out of Demai. Demai, we know, is produce, where there's a suffix where you're unsure whether Trumos and Maisros were separated from the produce. Similarly, the Mishnah says, if you have Maiser Rishon, right? Maiser Rishon is what we call Maiser, the produce, the one-tenth of your produce you give to the Levium. So assuming that you already separated Truma from that, we're going to get into a whole discussion about this in the Gemara in a second, but basically assuming that you already separated Truma and then you gave Maiser to the Levi, you can also use that to make an Erev Tchumen. Let's say you had Maiser Sheni or Hekdesh, right? Maiser Sheni is when you bring your produce up to Yerushalayim, or you exchange the Kedusha, you swap it onto coins and you bring it up to Yerushalayim to eat it there. So in those cases, if you redeem Maiser Sheni, or if you redeem Hekdesh, right? Hekdesh is just, you know, something that you consecrated to the Beis HaMikdash, if you redeemed it, so then you can use that for an Erev Tchumen. And the Mishnah also adds that a Kohen can use Chala. In other words, we know that there's a mitzvah of Afreshes Chala, and during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, you would actually give that dough to the Kohen. Today, we just burn the Chala in the oven for a variety of reasons, but back then, you used to actually give the dough to the Kohen, so a Kohen was permitted to use Chala, to use the dough that was given for Chala, as part of his Erev Tchumen. However, the Mishnah says, if your produce is Tevel, meaning to say you have not separated Trumas and Maestros, or if you had Maeser Rishon where you did not separate regular Truma from, or if you had Maeser Sheni or Hektish that were not redeemed, so then you would not be allowed to use those things for an Erev Tchumen. So the Gemara now goes through each one of these things. The Gemara says, Demai halo chazile. The Gemara says, why is it that you can make an Erev Tchumen out of Demai, out of produce where there's a suffix whether you separated Trumas and Maestros? Where the halacha is that because it's a suffix, you're not allowed to eat that produce misuffix. So what right do I have to turn around and use Demai as an Erev Tchumen? So says the Gemara, no. Migo di'iboi mafker lehula nechse vava ani v'chazele hashtanami chazele. The Gemara quotes a famous idea that since, in theory, a person could have declared all of his possessions to be hefker, and by doing so, you would become poor. So the halacha is that a poor person is permitted to eat demai even lechachila. How do we know that? Disnan, because the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Demai, ma'achila sa'aniyim demai v'esachsanya demai. Again, this happens to be a machlokas, as we'll see in a second. But the Mishnah Maseches Demai tells us that there's a special heter to feed demai to an ani and also to people in an army. We actually spoke about the army component, if you remember, back in the second parak, we spoke a lot about that. But here the Mishnah is focusing on the fact that you're allowed even lechachila to feed demai to a poor person. However, the Gemara points out, Amar Rav Huna, Tana Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Ma'achilin Esa Aniyim Demai, Uveisel Omrim Ma'achilin Esa Aniyim Demai. This point, this Nakuda, happens to be subject to a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where Beis Shammai says that you are not allowed to feed demai to an ani or to a person from the army, but Beis Hillel, the way that we paskin, says that you can. So since in theory a person could declare all their possessions hefker and theoretically could become impoverished, therefore we allow them to use demai for an Erev Tchumen. Again, as far-fetched as it sounds, the Gemara invokes this concept, this principle, in a number of other places as well, so therefore that would be the justification to use demai for your Erev Tchumen. Okay, then the next thing the Mishnah mentioned was, uv'maiser rishon shenitla. We said if you have maiser rishon where you already took off regular truma, you can also use that for an Erev Tchumen, to which the Gemara asks, pshita. It's obvious. Why? In other words, why would I think otherwise? Once you've separated truma and meiser from your produce, the produce just becomes regular produce. Why would I have thought that, you know, in other words, why does the Mishnah have to spell this out that I might have thought otherwise? So says the Gemara, no. Lo tzricha shehegdimu b'shibalin, v'natla mimenu trumas meiser, v'lo natla mimenu truma gedola, uche de Rabbi Avo amareish lakish. To amar Rabbi Avo amareish lakish, meiser rishon shehegdimu b'shibalin, Potter mi truma gedola shenemar v'harei mosem mimenu trumas Hashem maser mena maser maser mena maser amarti lecha velo truma gedola trumas maser mena maser. So comes the Gemara with the following halacha. The Gemara says that, let's say for example, I have produce, I have grain that's still growing on its stalks, it's still connected to the ground, and now the lady goes ahead and jumps the gun and takes off the miser. In other words, he gives the miser for himself before separating the truma. Normally, you're supposed to separate truma before miser. That's usually the way that it works. So let's say the Levi went ahead and took off the miser before truma was given. So the Gemara says that if that happened when the grain was still connected to the ground, so then you're not, in other words, at that point, you're no longer chayav to separate truma. How does the Gemara know that? So the Gemara darshins a pasuk from the end of Parshas Korach. The pasuk says, Vahare Mosem Mimenu Trumas Hashem Maaser Min HaMaaser. The pasuk says that you're going to give truma as a Maaser Min HaMaaser, which is basically another way of saying that only when you follow the proper procedure, in other words, first truma, then Maaser, then you're going to have to separate both. However, the Gemara says, Velo Truma Gedolo Trumas Maaser Min HaMaaser. If you flip the order, if you went ahead and separated Maaser before truma, which you were not really supposed to do, but if you went ahead and did it anyway, so then the Gemara says you're going to be putter from giving truma. So the Gemara says, hang on one second, I'm related to Papa Liabaye, Ihachi Afilu Hikdimu Bechrinami. So the question is, okay, if that's true, if there's this halacha that if the Levi jumped the gun and took the Meiser too early, that somehow you're putter from giving truma, why is that only true if the produce is connected to the ground? If they're still, in their stalk form, that should even be true once you pile it up into a pile. Once you harvest the grain as well, that halacha should also be true. But the problem is that it's not. So the Gemara says, Amar Le'alecha Amar Kra, Yikol Mas Rosechem Tarimu is called Trumas Hashem. We have another pasuk in Parshas Korach that seems to indicate that you have to separate truma under all circumstances, even if you took the miser off first. So the question is, well, so what's the difference? It seems to be an arbitrary distinction. Who cares if the stalks are connected to the ground, or who cares if the grain has already been harvested? In other words, either we should say that you still have to separate truma after giving the miser, or you don't. Why is the Gemara making the seemingly arbitrary distinction between whether the grain is connected to the ground or not? So says the Gemara, Umara Isa. Ha'idgan v'haylo idgan. The Gemara says, no, there's a very basic distinction between these two cases. Namely, in the case of the stalks that are still connected to the ground, you can't really call that grain yet. It doesn't have the status of a produce of grain when it's still attached to the ground. And therefore, if you went ahead and gave meister to the Levi before giving truma to the Kohen, you're going to be putter. However, in a case where the grain was already harvested and already threshed and already put into a pile and ready to eat, so that already has the status of grain, in which case, even if you jumped the gun and gave the miser, prematurely, you're still going to have to give the truma afterwards. That's the difference between the two cases. Okay.
Do we even consider if you're giving maser to the lady from grain that's in the store?
So, okay, it's a good question. That's a good question.
Why shouldn't we think it's nothing?
Right. That would have been my inclination also. In fact, that meaning from the Gemara's answer, the fact that the Gemara even says that it's not even called grain, but it's almost like a chiddush that if you went ahead and separated the meiser b'di'evid, we would consider that a form of hafrashas meisros. Even though you're right, in theory, it really doesn't really make any sense why that should be so. But again, it's all within this model of doing things. Just as in the case where you gave the miser too early, you weren't really supposed to do that. So also, you're not really supposed to give miser when the stuff is still attached to the ground, but if you did it already, so then it's still going to be effective b'di'evet.
How do you even know how to calculate it? I mean, you don't know what's going
to be. Okay, that's like a technical problem. I don't know. You have to figure that out. Yeah. Okay.
But Rabbi, didn't we already learn a case where they already picked the grain and they left it on the side and didn't smooth it yet? It wasn't even eligible.
So that's a separate issue. That's called Meruach HaKrim. Meruach HaKrim, that's usually the point in time when something becomes Chayav and Truma and Meiser. But again, as we keep on pointing out here, this is B'dieved. So even though you're right, you really are supposed to wait until the grain is piled up before separating Trumos and Meisros. But in theory, if you jump the gun, B'dieved, it would still be okay. Okay, so then we said in the Mishnah, Uve Meiser Sheni Vehekdesh Sheniftu. The next example the Mishnah gave of a valid Erev Trumin is if I had Meiser Sheni or I had Hekdesh that was redeemed. So once again, the Gemara asks Pshita, once you redeem Meiser Sheni or Hekdesh, it's just a regular item. Why would I have thought that I can't use that for an Erev Trumin? Says the Gemara, Lo Tzricha Shenosan Es HaKeren Velo Nosan Es HaChomesh VeKamash Malan De'ein HaChomesh Ma'akev. The Gemara says that the case is where, yes, I paid the principal, I paid the Keren, I redeemed the Meiser Sheni or the Hekdesh for their base value, but we know that whenever you redeem Meiser Sheni or Hekdesh, there's a halacha that you also have to add an additional until 5th. So let's say the case is where I paid the principal, but I did not yet pay the additional 5th. So the Gemara says, you see from this Mishnah that the fact that you did not yet pay that additional 5th for redeeming Hekdesh or Meiser Sheni will not prevent you from using this food for an Erev Truman, even though you still do have an obligation to pay that additional 5th. Okay. Then we said, Avo lo betevel. So again, Pshita. Again, why would I have thought that I could use Tevel for an Erev Truman? You're not allowed to eat Tevel. Eating Tevel is a Chiv Misa Bidei Shamayim. Why on earth would I have thought that Tevel is okay for an Erev Truman? Says the Gemara, no, lo tricha betevel tovel midrabanan uchagon shezaru ba'atzit she'eno nakov. I might have thought that if we're only dealing with Tevel midrabanan, then maybe that's a lower level type of Tevel. Perhaps that would have been okay for an Erev Truman. What's an example of Tevel midrabanan? So the Gemara gives an example of planting something in what's called an Atzit She'eno Nakov. An Atzit, we actually spoke about this a little bit in Masachah Shabbos. An Atzit She'eno Nakov basically means a flower pot that does not have a hole on the bottom. So if there's no hole on the bottom, the assumption is that's not really considered attached to the ground. The fact that anything that grows out of a flower pot without a hole is even considered to be Tevel at all is really just a chumra midrabanan. So one might have argued that perhaps it, because it's only an isra derabanan, maybe you can use that for Erev Truman. So no, kamash malan from the Mishnah, that even something which is tevel midrabanan cannot be used for an Erev Truman either. Okay. Then the Mishnah said, velo b'maiser rishon shelo nitla truma. So this was the corollary of the first half of the Mishnah, right? Where the second half of the Mishnah said that if you did not separate truma from the maiser, then you cannot use that for an Erev Truman. So again, the Gemara asks, pshita, it's obvious, why would I have thought otherwise? Says the Gemara, no, lo tzricha shehikdimu b'chriv v'natla mimenu trumas meiser below natla mimenu truma gedola ma'u desema ked amar le'rav papa li'abaye kamash v'lon k'deshani le. This is basically just a rehashing of the Gemara we had earlier, where the Gemara said, what if the guy went ahead and separated meiser prematurely before taking off truma? So I might have said that should somehow pose a problem. In other words, I might have said that, well, you know, in other words, b'di'evet, that should still be okay. B'di'evet, this Erev Truman should still be valid. The Gemara says, no, kamash v'lon, that based on the whole back and forth between Abaye and Rav Papa and the Gemara earlier regarding the Levi who jumped, in other words, regarding the person who gave Meiser before the Truma, so if it's a case where the produce was already in a pile, where it was already harvested, then even B'di'evid, it's not going to be good. Then even B'di'evid, you're not going to be, in other words, you can't use this as an Erev Truman. That's why the Mishnah has to spell that out. Okay, then we said, Velo b'Meiser Sheni v'Hekdesh Shelo Niftu. The Mishnah also said that if you have Meiser Sheni or Hekdesh that was not redeemed, you also cannot use that as an Erev Truman. And again, the Gemara asks, Pshita, that's obvious. Why would I have thought otherwise? Says the Gemara, Lo tzricha shepidon velo pidon keho chasan. Meiser shepido al gava simon. V'rachamana amar v'tzarta ha-kesef. Kesef sheyesh alav tzura. Says the Gemara that I might, in other words, let's say, for example, I have a case where, yes, I did redeem the Meiser Sheni, for example, but I didn't redeem it properly. What does that mean? What's the proper way to redeem Meiser Sheni? So if you look in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah says v'tzarta ha-kesef. You have to bundle the money. The Gemara derives from the word Vitzarta, that the money has to have a tsura, it has to have an imprint, it has to have an image on it. You know, there's most coins that we have today, and even coins from hundreds and thousands of years ago, have images of kings, of presidents, of whatever, princes, whatever it is on the coin. So the Gemara says if you use what's called an asimon is basically just like a token. It's a coin without any sort of an imprint on it, so then you cannot use that to be po de Meiser Sheni. So if you try to redeem Meiser Sheni using this token, that is not a valid redemption, and you would not be allowed to use that for an Erev Truman. And similarly, the Gemara says, Hekde shechilu agav karka, the rachaman omer v'nasana kesef ikamlo. And similarly, if you try to redeem Hekdesh by using karka, that also doesn't work. You have to redeem Hekdesh with money. How do we know that? Gemara quotes a pasuk. This is actually not completely a real pasuk. It's kind of an amalgamation of different psukim. V'nasan hakesef ikamlo, which basically just means you have to pay money, and by paying the money, you're going to come to be able to redeem the hekdesh. Okay. So now the Mishnah continues. Yeah,
Rabbi, can you just refresh my memory, even from yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
An Erev Tanchumen.
Yep.
You have to be able to eat it, or it just has to be.
This was
somebody.
This was our issue yesterday, right? This was part of the confusion of the Gemara yesterday about whether Erev Truman needs to be. Again, this got into the whole issue we mentioned yesterday about different formulations of nedarim. Remember, we spoke about this about if I make a neder in one way versus another way. What if I only forbade it from eating but not from benefiting? It seems pretty clear that there are instances where you cannot eat something but it could still qualify as an Erev Truman, like we spoke about yesterday. So I think the real issue issue is whether you can derive benefit. I think that's really that's what it seems like, at least from the Gemara that we saw yesterday. Correct. Well, no. I'm saying once you redeem it, so then it doesn't have kedusha anymore. That's the point here. That's the issue in the Mishnah. Okay, so the Mishnah now says, "Hashaleach iruvo biyachir yishot v'katan, o biyad misheinu mode be'iruv eino iruv." The Amar la'achir la'kablu mimenu ha'reza iruv. Comes the Mishnah and says that if you appoint someone as a shaliach to a creator to deliver your iruv tchumen, it's not always going to work. So, for example, if you give the food, let's say, for your iruv tchumen to either a chereish shote or a katan, to a person who's deaf mute, a person who has some kind of a mental incapacity or mental disability, or to a katan, someone under bar mitzvah, so all of those people in halacha do not have das, so that's not a valid iruv. And similarly, the Mishnah says if you give your iruv tchumen to a person who's not mode be'erev. What does it mean that he's not mode be'erev? That means that he doesn't believe in the concept of erev tchumen. We'll see in the Gemara in a second who exactly that's referring to. All of those people cannot, create a scenario of an erev tchumen. However, the Mishnah says, if let's say you gave your erev tchumen to a katan or a cheresh or a shoto or whoever, and then you had somebody else receive the erev tchumen from them, and that other person who is a bardas, who's a gadol, he's not a cheresh, he's not a shote, he believes in the Torah, whatever, and he took the food from the katan, let's say, and he himself established the Erev Tchumen, that would be okay. So says the Gemara asks, V'katan lo, is it really true that a katan is not able to establish an Erev Tchumen? V'ha'am Rav Huna katan go ve'esa Erev. Rav Huna says that a katan is able to collect the Erev. So the Gemara says, no, lo kashia kan be'eruve tchumen, kan be'eruve chatzeros. When Rav Huna says that a katan can collect and create a scenario of an Erev, he's not referring to an Erev Tchumen, which is the theme of our perek, but rather he's referring to an Erev Chatzeros. Why? Why can a Katan affect an Erev Chatzeros but not an Erev Tchumen? So basically, the basic distinction is that all you're doing with an Erev Chatzeros is that you're adjoining different properties that are already there. So, you don't really need a high level of Das to do that. You're just saying, okay, everyone in this apartment complex and this area is going to be joined together as if they live in the same house or the same area. So that doesn't require a lot of Das. So even a Katan can do that. Whereas an Erev Tchumen is creating a new Makom Shavisa. It's creating a new place where you're beginning Shabbos. So that requires a much more significant amount of Das. So a Katan would not be able to do that. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, O biyad misheinu mode be'erev man, Amar Rav Chisda kusai. Rav Chisda says that when the Mishnah talks about someone who doesn't believe in the concept of an erev, it's referring to a kusi. Why a kusi? So this gets into a whole discussion in other mesechtas about the status of kusim, whether kusim were really converts or not, whether their conversion was a real conversion. But there are many gemaras that seem to indicate that while it's true that kusim did, accept parts of the Torah, they certainly did not accept dinim derabanan. So for our purposes, they're similar kind of to like Tzedukim and Baisusim and all these people who maybe believed in the Torah Shebechsav, but not the Torah Shebaalpeh. Okay, then the Mishnah said, V'im'amar la'acher l'kablo heimenu ha'reize eruv. The Mishnah said that even though normally you can't appoint a chere, a shota, a katan, or a kusi to set up your eruv tchumen, but if you give it to them and then they deliver it to somebody else, and that other guy sets up the eruv tchumen, that's okay. So the Gemara says, hang on one second, V'leichosh dilma lo mamtile. The Gemara says, why are we not concerned? In other words, if I give my eruv tchumen to like a 7-year-old kid, and the Gemara says, oh, that's okay as long as somebody else takes it from him and sets it up. Why aren't we concerned that the 7-year-old won't end up delivering it? Maybe he'll run off and eat the food or something. In other words, how do we know that he's going to actually carry out his shlichus? In other words, that he's going to carry out what you asked him to do? So the Gemara says, no, kedama rav chista ba'omid veroeyu, hachanami ba'omid veroeyu. Yeah, the Gemara says, you're right. The case is where you, the guy who's trying to get the food to the other person via this katan, you were watching the katan the whole way, so you saw him running all the way down the street or the block to the other guy. So in that case, obviously you know that he delivered the food to him. But in other words, the obvious implication is that if you did not see him going to the other person, then we would legitimately be concerned that he did not deliver the food to the other person. Then the Gemara says, okay, v'leichosh dilma lo shokil mine. Okay, fine. Let's say you see the katan going to the other person. How do you know that the other guy even took it from him? Because the Gemara is assuming that, if the katan's going far away, so maybe it's kind of hard to see. In other words, maybe you saw him go to the person, but you can't really tell if the other guy took it from him. So how can we be assured that the other person took the item from the katan? So the Gemara says, no, kedama rav yichiel chazaka shliachos hashlichuso, hachanami chazaka shliachos hashlichuso. So the Gemara says, we have a principle, which this is going to really take us all the way to the Mishnah on Lama Beis Amabiz, which is the idea called chazaka a shliach osa shlichus. So we have a presumption that when I appoint someone as a shliach to do something for me, that they in fact carry out that shlichus. That's the assumption. So meaning, once I tell this person, in other words, I tell this other older person who's a bar das, take the food from the katan and set up the erev tchumen, the assumption is that he's going to listen to me. So the Gemara says, what was the context of this statement? The hecha itmar derachistav Rav Yechiel, aha itmar. This notion, this concept of the shliach will carry out his shlichus was stated about the following case. Desanya, nasnu lapil v'holicho lakov v'holi. I'm sorry, nasnu lapil v'holicho lakov v'holicho ein ze'irav v'em amar la'acher l'kablo himenu harei ze'irav. The Gemara has a very, very strange thing. Let's say instead of giving your food, your erev tchumen to a katan or a cheresh or a shote, you give it to an elephant or a monkey. The assumption is that these animals were somewhat trained and that they somehow have an idea what you're telling them to do, and they know, okay, if I deliver the food to this place, I'll get some food from the master, whatever. So the Gemara says that doesn't work, because if the elephant or the monkey sets up the erev tchumen, that's not valid, because a person, a bar das, has to set it up. However, if you tell the elephant or the monkey to deliver the food to somebody else, and the other guy sets it up, like in the case we just mentioned before, that would theoretically be a valid erev tchumen. So again, the Gemara asks the same question. The Dilma lo mamtili, how do we know the elephant or the monkey is going to arrive to the other person? Maybe it's going to go run away and do something else. So again, Amar Chista, but Omei Verwe, the same answer we gave before. You're watching the elephant, you see the monkey, you see it going to the other person. Okay, then the Gemara says the same question. Maybe the guy didn't accept the food from the elephant or the monkey. The Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Yechiel Chazaka, Shliach Osa Shlichu. So this was the original context of the statement, that the assumption is that a shaliach carries out a shlicha. So if the person knows that you're sending an elephant or a monkey with some food to him to set up as an erev tchumen, in other words, he knows that that's his job, and the assumption is that he's going to carry it out. Okay. Now the Gemara presents the following machlokas. Amar Rav Nachman, b'shel Torah, ein chazaka shliach osa shlichuso, b'shel sofrim chazaka shliach osa shlichuso, Rav Sheisha samar echadzeh chazaka shliach osa shlichuso. This is a fundamental machlokas between Rav Sheisha and Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman assumes that this principle called chazaka shliach osa shlichuso, this assumption that a shliach always carries out his shlichus, we can only rely on this when it comes to dinim de rabbanan. You cannot rely on this when it comes to dinim de oraisa, because the stakes are too high. Whereas Rav Sheisha says, no, Rav Sheisha says you can rely on this principle in all cases. So the Gemara now tries to prove which opinion is correct. Amar Rav Sheisha, mena amina, how do I know that you can even rely on the principle of shliach osa shlichuso even for de oraisas? So the Gemara says, disna, we have a mishnah in Meseches Menachos that says, mishakara va'omer huter hachadash miyad v'harechoke mutara mechatzos hayom ve'elach. Mishnah is discussing the Karban Omer. The Karban Omer was offered on the second day of Pesach, and until the Karban Omer was offered, there was an Isra de Oraisa for a person to eat Chadash. Right? Chadash is the new grain that's growing. Again, there's some people today who are Machbit to not eat Chadash either, even Chutzlar, that's a whole separate discussion. But basically, you're not allowed to eat Chadash, especially, you know, Bisman Beis HaMikdash, until the Karban Omer was offered. So if you lived in Yerushalayim, if you saw what was going on, you would know right away when the Karban was offered, and the second the Karban was offered, you were allowed to eat Chadash. However, let's say you lived in Haifa, so you had no way of knowing when the carbon was offered. So the Mishnah Menachos says that after Chatzos, you can assume the carbon was already offered, and at that point, you're allowed to eat Chadash. So the Gemara says, hang on 1 second. The Gemara says, if I live in Haifa, and there's no way I'm going to really know exactly when the carbon Omer was offered, what right do I have to just assume that it was offered by Chatzos? I don't know that. I wasn't there. So presumably, the only reason why you can make that assumption that it was for sure offered by Chatzos is because of this principle called chazaka shliach osa shlichuso. We can assume the shliach carried out his duties. And this is talking about a potential isra d'oraisa. Eating chadash before offering the karban omer is an isra d'oraisa, and we're still relying on the principle of shliach osa shlichuso. That would seem to support Rav Sheshes, and that would seem to be against Rav Nachman. So how would Rav Nachman deflect this Mishnah? V'Rav Nachman hasam kediktani taima lefi sheyodin shein bezdin misatzlin bo. So the Gemara says, no, maybe you can argue that we know that the Bezdin, they're not lazy. So in other words, when it comes to offering the Karban Omer, you can assume that they're going to be very zealous and they're going to be quick to do it. And the other version, the Gemara quotes this notion as the source for Rav Nachman, namely, the implication is that, yeah, the Bezdin, whose role it is, whose job it is to ensure that the Kohanim offer the Karban Omer, they're going to to be very zealous. They're going to be, you know, very much on top of it. They're going to make sure that it gets offered on time. But the implication is that a regular shliach who's just carrying out shlichus for a random person for some, you know, that's not for the Karban Omer, it sounds like we don't necessarily believe that they're going to be so on top of things. So Rav Nachman says, this in fact is actually a proof for my position. That, in other words, the very thing that Rav Sheshes was trying to claim was a proof for his position, Rav Nachman turns around and says, no, that's a proof for my position, that in reality you can't, in other words, the fact that we're, that the Beis Din is on top of bringing the Karban Omer, you can't derive anything to that from regular normal cases of shlichus. Okay. Then the Gemara says, V'Rav Sheshes Amar L'Chazar, how would Rav Sheshes deflect this? So he says, Beis Din Arpalge Diyoma, Shaliach Kule Yoma. Rav Sheshes had a different inference from this Mishnah. In other words, instead of saying that, oh, the Beis Din is on top of it, and regular, you know, and a regular shliach is not on top of anything, and we just assume he doesn't carry out his shlichus, Rav Sheshes says, no, that a regular Beis Din, in other words, the Beis Din by the Karban Omer, they're super on top of things. They make sure everything gets done before Chatzos. But a regular shliach, so he's not as on top of things, but he makes sure that before the end of the day, everything gets taken care of. So, according to Rav Sheshes, you can rely on a regular shliach in general, even for the Oraisas. It's just that the time frame about when you can rely on him is going to be a little bit delayed. So you have to wait. You know, in other words, for a regular shliach, you have to give him to the end of the day. Whereas for the Beis Din that's in charge of making sure the Karban Omer was offered, you only have to give them until Chatzos, and at that point you can assume that the Karban was already offered. Okay, now the Gemara tries a second proof. Amar Rav Sheshes, Mino Amin Olam. Disanya, Haisha Sheisha Leha Leda Oziva, Mavia Maos Venosenes Beshofar, Vitovelis Veochelis Bekachim Laerif, Mai Taima, La Mishum Diamrina Chazaka Shaliach Osa Shlichuso. So now the Gemara goes ahead and cites a din regarding, let's say, for example, you have a woman who just experienced, she was either a Zava or she just had a baby. So we know that in those instances, after she becomes a Zava, after she gives birth, she has to bring certain karbanos, right? And we know that until those karbanos are offered, a woman is not really permitted to partake of kachim. She's not allowed to eat certain karbanos. So let's say, for example, a woman just experienced leida or ziva. So she brings her money for the karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. She deposits the money in these special containers that were set up, that were designated for various karbanos. Then she goes to the mikvah, and then the Gemara says she can eat karbanos right away that evening. So the Gemara says, what? In other words, she wasn't in the Beis HaMikdash when the karban was offered on her behalf, but we're assuming that it was done. So don't you see from here that even for d'oraisas, we say shliach osa shlichuso, because this is a din d'oraisa. If a woman eats kachim when she's tamei, that's a very serious problem. The fact that we're assuming that she can eat kachim that night is obviously assuming that the kohanim did their duty and that they actually carried out what they were supposed to do. So how would Rav Nachman deflect this? He says, no, Rav Nachman, hasam kidder Rav Shmaya, the Amar Rav Shmaya, chazaka in beznin shel kohanim omdim yisham ad sheyichlu komo shebeshover. This is kind of a very similar answer to the previous case with the Karban Omer, which basically the Gemara is saying that, you know, again, the Kohan, we have this assumption that the Kohanim are not leaving the Beis HaMikdash until they take all the funds from the baskets and until they use them to purchase the karbanos. So again, the idea basically is that the Kohanim are overly zealous. They're very, very on top of things. But again, that's not necessarily a proof that a regular shaliach is going to be so on top of things. Okay, now the Gemara tries again.
Are we saying here that all money deposited on that day, for whatever karban is?
Yeah. It's going to be used. It's going to be used that day. That's what the Gemara sounds like, right? It sounds like the Kohan. Yeah. Correct. Okay, now the Gemara tries with the third proof. Amar Rav Sheshes, Mina Aminala, Desanya, Ha'omer Lachavero, Tse Vilaki Lacha Te'ena Mita Einasi, Ochel Mehen Arayuma Asran Vadai, Mole Lacha Kalkala Zed Te'ena Mita Einasi, Ochel Mehen Arayuma Asran Demai. The Gemara makes the following distinction. Let's say, for example, I go to someone's house and I go to their field and they have a fig tree. And the guy says, okay, go to my fig tree and gather some figs. So the halacha is that you're allowed to eat those figs, but derech arai. Derech arai just means like as a snack. So if you want to eat the figs as a snack, not as like a full meal, you can do that even without separating trumos and maestros. That's a general halacha, that if you want to eat something just as a snack, you're not really mechuyah to separate trumos and maestros. However, when it comes to separating maestro from the figs, you have to do so betoras vada. Because in other words, the fact that the owner is not giving you is not telling you gather X number of figs. He's just saying take a bunch of figs. The assumption is that he clearly did not yet separate Meiser from his figs. So now when you go ahead and take the Meiser off the figs, you need to do so b'toras vada as if it's a real obligation. However, if the owner tells you fill your basket full of figs, that's already a little bit more of a specific amount. So then the Gemara says that when you separate Meiser, you only do so b'toras demai. It's only a suffix. You're only not 100% sure if you took them if you took the Meiser off the fig. So the Gemara explains, Ba'med dvar ma'murim ba'am ha'aretz, ava b'chaver ochel ve'inu tzarech la'asr divrei Rebbe, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, Ba'med dvar ma'murim ba'am ha'aretz, ava b'chaver inu ochel at she'yaser lefi shalo nechshedu chaverim lisrom shalom en amukav. The Gemara quotes an almost a very radical machlokes between Rebbe and his father, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, regarding the scope of this halacha. So according to Rebbe, this is like the simple explanation, you know, what I would have said, is that this concept that, you know, I have to be makbid to separate Meiser from the other guy's figs, that's if he's an Ama Aretz. That's if he's a person who's not so careful on Shumos and Meisros, and let's say I'm a Chaver, let's say I'm a person who is makbid on those things, so I have to be careful to make sure to separate Meiser. That's the simple explanation. However, Rebbe's father, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, said almost the exact opposite. He said, no, this halacha that I can assume that the Meiser was already separated, that's for an Ama Aretz. But if you're a Chaver, if you're a Talmud Chacham, then you can assume that the Meiser was dafka not taken off. Why would you say the Meiser was not taken off? The guy is machped on these kinds of halachos. So the Gemara says, because this is for almost a tangential reason. We actually briefly mentioned this a little bit earlier back on Daf Lamed, which is that lechatchila, you're really not supposed to separate trumas and Meiser. It's what's called shalom and hamukaf, when you're not right next to the produce. So really, lechatchila, you're really not supposed to do that. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because a person who's machped on trumas and Meiser is not going to do it in the inappropriate way, he's not going to separate it when he's away from the produce. He'll do it only when he's right there. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel assumes that if it's a Talmud Chacham who's telling you to take the figs off, that means that he dafka did not take the Meiser off because he doesn't want to take it away when he's so far away from the produce. So the Gemara explains, Omar Rebbe, Nirin Dvarai mi Divrei Abba, Mutav sheyachshdu chaverim listrom shalom en amukav, velo yachilu la'ame ha'aretz tevalim. Rebbe turns to his father, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and says, my pshat makes a lot more sense than yours. He says, okay, it's true that lechadchila, you're not supposed to separate the figs when you're not right near the fig tree. That's true. But that's just a din lechadchila. What's the alternative? The alternative is that if you don't do that, you're going to cause this Ama Aretz to eat tevel. Eating tevel is a chiv miso bidei shamayim. That's a much more serious problem than separating the truma and meiser when you're not next to the tree. That's just a din lechadchila, right? So Rebbe says, of course my pshat makes more sense. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Ad kan lo plige ela de mar stavar nechshedu u mar stavar lo nechshedu avu kule alma chazaka shaliach oza shlichu. So what's the bottom line from this whole story about taking Meiser off of the figs? Really, the only issue here is a very technical machlokes about whether we suspect the chaver, the Talmud Chacham, is he going to take off the Meiser when he's not near the fig tree, or do we say no, he is going to do that because he doesn't want to make the Am Haaretz violate the Isser of eating tevel? But at the end of the day, in other words, everyone seems to agree that the shliach will carry out a shlichus. At the end, again, it's just this technical question about, do we suspect the chavir of separating the figs when he's away from the tree or not? But at the end of the day, the assumption is that when you tell the shliach, go take X number of figs, go separate Meiser from my figs, he's going to do that. That seems to conform with Rav Sheshes, who says that we do say shliach osa shlichuso even by dine de oraisa. So how would Rav Nachman respond to that? For Rav Nachman, hasam kid Rav Chanina choza, da amar Rav Chanina choza, chazakahu al chavir she'ino moti davar says Rav Chanina Choza, we have another presumption regarding a chaver, regarding a person who's a Talmud Chacham who's careful in the realm of Trumos and Maestros, that he will not let anything leave his possession, which is Eino Mesukan, something where Trumos and Maestros have not yet been separated. He will never allow such a thing to come out of his possession because he knows that it's going to lead people to violating Averus. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Amar Mar, Ba'med Var Mamurim Ba'am Haaretz, Avo B'chaver Ochel Ve'Eino Tzarech La'asir Divrei Rebbe. So again, according to Rebbe, this was the simple explanation that if a Talmud Chacham is telling you to take the figs, you can assume that he took Meiser off. If it's an Am Haaretz, then you have to assume that he did not take Meiser off. So the Gemara says, hang on one second. Hi Am Haaretz de Ka'amar Le'Lamad. Who is this Am Haaretz talking to exactly? Ilema de Ka'amar La'am Haaretz Chavrei. Ma'asra and demai mitzayis. If the one Am Haaretz is talking to another Am Haaretz, that doesn't make any sense, because the whole issue of demai, the whole reason why we have to be makbid to take demai off, is because Chazal felt that Am Haaretz were not careful about separating meiser. So if I'm an Am Haaretz and the other guy's an Am Haaretz, we're not going to, in other words, we're not going to like think, oh, let's assume that we're not following the halacha because Chazal said that we should do this. In other words, you're not going to think that way if you're an Am Haaretz. So the Gemara says, okay, Ela ba'Am Haaretz the ka'amar le'lechaver, if the case is where it's an Am Haaretz telling a chaver, telling a person who is makbid on trumos and meisers to take the meiser off the fig. So the problem with that is ema seifa nearing dvarai mi divrei abba mutav sheyachshdu chaverim lishrom shalom and amukav yal yachilu Am Haaretz tevolin Am Haaretz my boy hasam. If this is the case of an Am Haaretz telling a chaver to take the meiser off of the figs, well, that's problematic for based on what Rebbe said earlier. Remember, Rebbe said my explanation makes more sense than my father's. Why? Because Rebbe said that it's better to violate this light Isser of not separating the meiser from the figs when you're right next to the tree. It's better to do that and not let the Am Haaretz come to violate the Isser of eating Tevel. But the problem is that according to what we just said, if it's one Am Haaretz talking to a Chaver, then there's no Am Haaretz who's doing any Avera here. It's the Chaver. The Chaver's not going to do the Isser. The Chaver's not going to come to eat Tevel. So what did Rebbe mean when he says, my pshat is better than my father's because I want to make sure that the Am Haaretz doesn't eat Tevel? There's no Am Haaretz eating Tevel here. So the Gemara says, you're right. Amar Ravina, Reisha, Ba'am Haaretz, Amar Lechav. Comes Ravina and says that that second case is, there are actually three people involved here. It's really a case where there's a chaver, so meaning there's a Talmud Chacham. He tells the Am Haaretz, go take the meiser off the figs. And then there's a third guy who's also a chaver who's listening in to what the original chaver said to the Am Haaretz. So the Gemara explains, Rebbe Savar, Oso Chaver, Ochel, Ve'eno Tzarech La'aser, Devada Isure Ma'aser, Hahu Chaver. So according to Rebbe, that second chaver does not need to separate meiser from the figs because the assumption is that the first chaver already did that. However, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer lo yochal ad sheya'aser lefi shelo nechshedu chaverim lishrom shalom en amukaf. Whereas according to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, the second chaver is not allowed to eat the figs without taking meiser off of it because the assumption is that he needs to first separate. In other words, he needs to first make sure that he doesn't take the figs off or take meiser off of the figs unless he's right next to the fig tree, as we mentioned before. V'amar le Rebbe, mutav sheyachshdu chaverim lishrom shalom en amukav, v'al yachilu Am Haaretz tevolim. And that's where Rebbe commented and said that it's better that the chaver violate this halacha of not separating meiser when he's right next to the tree, as opposed to ensuring that the Am Haaretz eats tevel. So the Gemara wants to know, what exactly is this machlokas about between Rebbe and his father? So the Gemara says, Rebbe Savar, Nechale Lechaver Diliyavid Hu Isura Klila, Velo Liyavid Am Haaretz Isura Rabba, Verabban Shimon Ben Gamliel Savar, Nechale Lechaver Diliyavid Am Haaretz Isura Rabba, the Ihu Afilu Isura Klila Lo Liyavid. This is a very, very famous issue where the Gemara says that according to Rebbe, it's better that you do a quote unquote light Avera or a relatively, not so severe Avera to prevent the Am Haaretz from doing a much more serious Avera, namely eating Tevel. Whereas according to Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel, he says, you are not in the business of doing averos, in other words, under any circumstances, even if that means that the other guy is going to end up doing a really, really serious avera. In other words, according to Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, you cannot do something that's going to cause yourself to do an avera, even if that means that someone else is going to do a very serious avera. Again, the parameters and the scope of this halacha is actually, we actually spoke about this briefly in the very beginning of Masechet Shabbos, and we talked about this. If let's say you see a guy who starts baking bread on Shabbos, so we know that they're obviously baking bread itself is an Isra Doraisa, but there's an Isra Derabanan to peel the dough off of the oven. So the Gemara had a whole discussion about this. Can I go into the oven and peel the dough off before it bakes to prevent him from violating the malacha of Ofa, but at the same time violating an Isra Derabanan of Rediyas Hapas, of yanking the dough off of the oven? So again, a lot of these issues touch on this same Gemara as well. Okay, so we'll